Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's begin with a question. When I say the word saint, what do you think of? Now, if we were playing at Freudian word association, I would say the word saint, and you might say something like holy one, pious, historic, sinless, unblemished, extraordinary, uncommon, and last but not least, dead. These words, I fear, are what many of us think of when we think the word saints. We have this idea in our mind that the saints are a sort of spiritual aristocracy who seem cold and aloof, not unlike the plaster statues that came to portray them. Sort of smiles perpetually stuck to their faces like such so much cosmetic paint. Now this morning, as we keep this great Sunday in the octave of All Saints, I want you to put apart the common, popular view of saints that most of us have grown up with. In place of this established, and I would add incorrect, view of the saints, I want you to fix your mind on two other words. The first is example, and the second is friend. Now, on the Feast of All Saints, the Church holds up before us all the saints as examples. And the saints are indeed the heroes of the Christian religion. They are those whose wisdom we admire, whose virtues we venerate, whose glory we proclaim, whose merits we declare, whose happiness we desire, whose triumph we celebrate. And the saints are examples for us because they are our pattern. They are the mold. They are the model to which God asks us to conform our lives. In short, it is the vocation of every Christian to be a saint. Now, when the preacher starts talking about examples and models, we're flirting with this spiritual aristocracy idea. We might think of a Saint Joan of Arc who led an entire army into battle and then was burned at the stake. Or, if you're from the northern part of the country, you might think of René Goupil, a priest who was tomahawked to death for baptizing an Indian child. Or Simon the Stylite, who lived for 36 years in a little treehouse on the top of a pole with God as his only companion. Now, thank God, it's very doubtful that any of us are going to be burned at the stake, scalped, or live at the top of a pole. When we hear stories like this, they're inspiring, but more so awe-inspiring. And they reinforce our belief in the saints as superheroes akin to Hercules or some other Greek god. And we rightly ask the question, how on earth are people like that an example to people like me? So that's not what I'm talking about when I talk about the saints as examples. You know, the Feast of All Saints draws to our attention all the holy men and women who have ever lived. And as important as they are, we honor not the heroes this morning, but thousands upon thousands of our ordinary brothers and sisters in Christ who have lived and died in holiness. The people we heard about in the first reading today, living peaceably in their habitations. People like you and me who have lived in every age under circumstances very similar to ours and have achieved sanctity. Normal men and women who, with the same passions, the same difficulties, the same obstacles, and the same divine help, have acquired their salvation. And I'm here to tell you that there is nothing that has gone on in your life, is even now going on in your life, or will go on in your life, that some saint has not gone through, and with the help of God, has turned into the triumphant praise of Almighty God and a victory over Satan, sin, and death. So the church makes this known to us today by placing before our eyes so many millions of saints who are what we would not willingly be. And by showing us these monks, these accountants, these housewives, these teachers, these secretaries, these students, these young and old, sick and healthy, rich and poor, the church says to you, and the church says to me, if they can live a life that is holy and poured out for God, why can't you? And in truth, we have no excuse which is not destroyed by the example of the saints. So examples, that's the first thing. But we don't stop there. I ask you to use the word friend as well. I'm told that the number one disease among North Americans is loneliness. What modern men and women crave is friendship. Friendship with our neighbors, yes, but also friendship with God. And the belief of our modern technological world is, if I can't see it, it doesn't exist. But every time we say the creed, we profess our belief in everything that is seen and unseen. And there is an entire world of supernatural beings, countless angels and saints, that exists no further than the tip of my fingers. I can't see this world, but I know that it exists nonetheless. Does it make a difference? Absolutely. Those angels and those saints pray for us constantly. They aid us in our difficulties and they protect us from harm. You know, holiness is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. It's something to be prayed for, not worked at. And in our pilgrimage to become holy, to become saints, we're aided by all the other saints who stand around the throne of God, as we heard in the second lesson. And they're not only examples, but they're concerned about us. They watch over us, and they pray for us. And like our earthly friends, they lend a hand to pull us closer to God. One of the best bits of advice that was ever given to me was given by a priest, and he told me to choose a saint and to make friends with him and to say good morning to him and throughout the day converse with him as you would converse with an earthly friend and ask for his aid just as you would ask the aid of an earthly companion. And that's good advice, especially for parents. I mean, do you tell your children stories of the saints? Have you taught your child where his name comes from? Do those of us who are adults take time to make friends in the supernatural world? Do we observe the feasts of the saints? So once a year at All Saints, the church asks us to think about all the blessed saints. And she chooses an excellent time of year for it, the beginning of November, a time when autumn comes upon us and the leaves fall and the weather is either wetter or colder than we would have it be. It's in November that we like staying indoors again. And there's a kind of snug feeling about coming into the house at the end of the day and pulling the curtains across the windows. And that helps us to remember all the saints in heaven, so snug there, with all the painful struggles of this earthly life behind them, and having drawn the curtains of heaven around them. Let us remember, however, that the curtains of heaven are transparent curtains, not in the sense that you and I can look in, oh, that we could, but the saints can look out, and they see us plowing our way through life with difficulty and folly. And they can help us, not only because the light of their example shines down on us and makes it easier to see where we're going, but they help us with their prayers, strong prayers, wise prayers, when our prayers are so feeble and so weak. So if you're out walking some November night and happen to look up and see the sky all studded with stars, think of those innumerable saints in heaven, those examples, those friends who watch over you, who care for you, and are ready to help you with their prayers so that you can come just as they have come to know and to worship Jesus, who is the King of Saints. The hymn in procession to the font is found on page 4 of your bulletin.